Let us sing hymn 656. We stand to sing a mighty fortress and face the cross as it enters the sanctuary in 656. Sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, and a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called, ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We chant the introit from the insert.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord means the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame.
Nation and tribe and language and people.
And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Therefore, we love to hear, though we are his way, though the night is near, we choose your heart on us.
those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. how is it that you say, you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 566.
Thank you.
the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we rejoice that we are indeed justified by grace through faith. We have peace with God our Father. The banner here that says grace alone, faith alone, and scripture alone can never just be turned into some kind of a logo. This describes our life as Christians. Saved by grace, not by works. Christ's righteousness accredited to us as we have faith in his atoning sacrifice. And our lives are based not on the word of man, but on the word of Scripture, God's word. Now it's true that October 31st, which falls on Wednesday, is the actual day of the Reformation in 1517. And of course, last year we celebrated 500 years of the Reformation. But Martin Luther could have never imagined, this pastor in Wittenberg, that when he posted the 95 Theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, what the effect would be of this act, calling the whole Christian life to be one of repentance and faith. The entire Christian life is filled with repentance and faith in Christ. We don't need papal indulgences to save our souls from an imaginary purgatory which doesn't even exist. But this was a dangerous thing for Luther to preach and to teach. But it was the truth. Because the church is built upon the written scriptures of the Old and New Testament, the inspired word of God. This is the only place we can say, "Thus saith the Lord." And of course, Scripture does not teach work righteousness under some oppressive system of indulgences, penance, and masses. No. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, because of his once-for-all completed sacrifice on the cross. And in his glorious resurrection, we are accounted righteous and holy and without blemish, clothed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, like the white robe that I wear, reminding us of our baptism. Luther discovered this in the book of Romans and Galatians, but it would be better to say, the truth discovered him. And the truth has discovered you and me. Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. Let us take a look at what it means to have salvation to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be justified freely by his grace? And what does it mean to know the truth? And the truth sets us free indeed. We have before us today in the book of Romans and in the Gospel of John, law and gospel and a picture of the sanctified life. We begin, of course, with law, the Ten Commandments. As Paul says, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. When we look at the Ten Commandments, the first three, and the summary of the first table, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Commandments 4 through 10, the second table, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We have broken them all because we inherited original sin from Adam and Eve. Sin is rebellion, doing exactly the opposite of what God says. Ten Commandments and the law speak to those who are under the law, which is every one of us. Every mouth is stopped, St. Paul said. The whole world is held accountable to God. People may laugh at God now, but they will not be laughing on Judgment Day. Every person will be held accountable before God, but by the works of the law, no man will be justified in his sight. No one is righteous, no, not one. Because of the old Adam that we've received from our original parents, says, the law just brings us to the knowledge of our sin. We look at the Ten Commandments and we realize we have not loved the Lord first. We've had idols before him. We've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We love ourselves first. Thus, Paul says, there is no distinction, that is, between a Jew or a Gentile. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. boasting is excluded. When a runner runs a race around the track, he might run or she might run the whole way and three quarters of the way fall down flat on their face in the cinder with bloodied knees, bloodied hands, and never even finished the race. That is a picture of all of us. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. No one has met the goal. No one has finished in perfection. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is why, as you learned in the Catechism, the Ten Commandments, there's three uses for the commandments. The first is, the law is a curb on society, so we have civil laws to live by. Secondly, and most importantly, it's a mirror that shows our sin. We look at the Ten Commandments and see we've broken every last one of them. And of course, it's a guide in the Christian life called the third use of the law in our sanctified life. We know what it means to love God and love our neighbor because the Ten Commandments is a guide for us in our Christian life. But that law cannot save us. That law simply brings us to the knowledge of our sin. That is why at the beginning of the service, we said that we were poor, miserable sinners and confessed our sins, all of our sins, and appealed to the bitter sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The law speaks, the world may laugh, but no one will be laughing when our Lord returns. But of course, there is the comfort of the gospel. As Paul continues, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now this is pure grace. This is not anything any of us earned. The righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets, which is a code word for the books of Moses and the Old Testament, all bore witness of Christ. Christ was that seed to come to crush the head of the serpent. Christ is the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and of the line of David. He is that seed in whom all the nations of the world will be blessed. The entire Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, bears witness to the Messiah, to the Christ, his life, his suffering, his death and resurrection. It's all in the pages of the Old Testament. The law and prophets bear witness to Christ. And Paul gives us four pictures of what this redemption means. He says, you have been justified by grace as a gift. Justification is a forensic term in the courtroom. It means that in the courtroom of God, Christ has become our substitute. He took our place. All the wrath of God that we deserve was placed upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. God the Father accepts his sacrifice in our place. Gavel comes down and he declares us righteous and holy. Penalty has been paid full through Christ Jesus. We are declared righteous and holy because Christ took our place. That is what justification means. Secondly, redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We are like a slave on the auction block, and our Lord Jesus comes into the marketplace and says, I will purchase that slave with my own blood, not with silver and gold. And when he purchases us with his blood, he redeems us. He buys us back, and then he sets us free to be slaves of righteousness and to serve him. Redemption, being bought back. Justified, being declared righteous. Propitiation is the third picture by Christ's blood. In the temple, the Holy of Holies, where the high priest would come and sprinkle the blood over the Ark of the Covenant, the top of the Ark of the Covenant, and inside the Ark with the Ten Commandments, which mankind had broken. The gold covering and angels over top of the Ark was called the mercy seat. And the priest would sprinkle the blood over the covering, over the mercy seat, and God would see the blood and forgive. Christ is our high priest. Christ sprinkles his own blood over the cross and the ark of his body. And through Christ, we have propitiation by his blood, which means God the Father sees the blood of Christ and forgives our unrighteousness because of Jesus' righteousness. And the fourth picture he gave was divine forbearance because he passed over our former sins. And this takes us back all the way to Exodus. When the Passover lamb was sacrificed, the blood was put over the doorposts of the house. When the angel of death passed over Egypt, all the firstborn sons of Israel lived because of the blood over their doorposts. All of this is a foretelling of what Christ did. Through the blood of Jesus on the cross, there God has now passed over our sins and has redeemed us and saved us. Paul makes the point, God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, apart from the works of the law. What this means is God is just. When he makes a promise, he will keep it. He promises you the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. He promises you. In holy baptism, I clothe you in Jesus' righteousness. You have eternal life. You have the forgiveness of sins. This is my promise. Believe it. Hold on to it. And until your eyes see that eternal life when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, live in the reality of the just and righteous promises of God. Believe his promise. And then the sanctified life, of course, is pictured by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. That if we hold to his teaching, we are really his disciples and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Knowing Christ, we are like a tree that bears good fruit. The sanctified life that flows from justification means that we realize that the old Adam was enslaved to sin. One who is enslaved to sin, who commits sin, is a slave, Jesus says, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. That old Adam, that sinful part of us, without Christ, is a slave to sin. Slavery to sin, thinking that you're free. Whether you're watching a sitcom, or Saturday Night Live, or something on YouTube, you see people that are enslaved to idolatry, or adultery, or foul language, or debauchery. They're not happy. They're enslaved to it. They think they're free, but they're not. They're enslaved. Only Christ can set us free and make us new man in our baptism, saint. Those who believe in Jesus' word and abide in his word are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, Jesus says. The Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And the Son does remain in the Father's house forever. The world has this exactly the opposite. The world says, be free, do whatever you want, and you'll find truth. And they never do, because they just fall into more lies and falseness. First you know the truth, and then you are set free. We are set free from sin, death, and hell. Yes, we are saint and sinner at the same time, and we must fight that battle till the day we die, but in heaven we will finally be set free from our old Adam. Meanwhile, because we believe his word, we abide in his truth and are truly free. So in conclusion, my friends, you're like St. John and like St. Paul and Pastor Martin Luther. Through the church of all the ages, we must continue to proclaim this law and gospel. We must be baptized and hear absolution, receive Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine, pray for one another, love one another, bear each other's burdens, and dedicate our lives for the mission work in God's harvest field of proclaiming this gospel to all the nations. May God bless Trinity Lutheran Church, which for 117 years has proclaimed this gospel. May we proclaim it for the next 117 years as one family, investing God's gifts of grace here in our church, in school and campus ministry, using our time, our talent, and treasures and everything that we have, because we have been justified by grace through faith. That is not a slogan. That's our reality. Grace alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone. May you rejoice in the freedom and the truth that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ, having been justified by grace through faith. We do have peace now and forever with God our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.
We stand and chant the offertory found on page 192. Friendship pad found at the end of the pew, pass it down to people next to you, and then tear it out and place it in the narthex in the basket on your way out of church. We are seated for our offering.
Church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for all God's people according to their needs and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by the blessed light of your divine word, you have led us to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us by grace through faith in the Holy Spirit to walk in the light of your truth. Rejoice with sure confidence in Christ our Savior. Be brought into everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, we ask as you, our Father, our God of all comfort, and our only help in time of need, look with favor upon your servants Bobby Humphrey, Phil Burks, and Frida Deepy, Catherine Zellers, Arlene Oddie, and Jenny Swanson, Rizon Merchant, Jill Tarver, Pansy Brown, Cormac Baxendale, and Keith Kapelski. Comfort them as it pleases you. Grant them health and grace in the midst of their tribulations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, be a source of strength and hope for your children. Be with those affected by the bombings, the shootings, the hurricanes, and all disaster. Grant your abiding presence to all who are in need. Guide them by your word in the paths of wisdom. And bring those to help them in their suffering through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank and praise you, O Lord, for our church, school, and campus ministry. Grant your care and preservation as we continue to carry out your great commission. By your mercy, grant us wisdom in all that we do to receive each day with thanksgiving your gifts for body and soul. Proclaim the glory of Christ to all the nations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, ruler of all the nations, bless Steve Mills, Doug Jupe, Mike Gobble, and Charles Gaither, Stephen Maywald, Ricardo Latanga, Kevin Stevenson, and Danny Green. Protect them from all harm by your holy angels as they serve in the military. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks that in holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. This week be with Seth Lemke, Asher Brown, Jesse Douglas and David Matheson, Dolores Schweiger, Rose Nihus, and Tanner Sendelbach. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And to your hands, O Lord, we commit all whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Page 194.
The Lord be with you.
Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. For you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets and apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, page 199, we stand to sing.
Upon you and give you peace.